Our sermon today is based on a reading from Luke chapter 1, verses 46 through 55. Is it on the screen yet? Right? There we go. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." Thank you, God, for making us blessed when we say yes. So over the past few weeks, we have looked at people in the Bible who said yes to God's call and were subsequently blessed. Today, we come to the ultimate person who said yes and was blessed. And what a wonderful example of a prime aspect of blessedness this person is. When we are blessed to be a blessing, and indeed, this blessed person did provide a blessing for all of us many years, many generations after she said yes. I'm talking, of course, about Mary, the mother of Jesus Christ. It's not always easy to say yes to God, as Mary well knew. Sometimes God puts before us a barrier that seems insurmountable, a barrier that makes us doubt our ability to say yes or our wisdom in saying yes. It's easy to say yes to the easy things, but what about the hard things? Mary faced obstacles that sprang up even before she said yes, and she said yes anyway. What obstacles? Well, she was a teenager, a young girl, newly engaged but not yet married, innocent and unaware. If she showed up pregnant in her village, it would cause a huge scandal, if not lead to her death. People would assume she had committed adultery, and in those days, being engaged was on a par with being married, so any extracurricular activity with someone other than your fiancé was forbidden. It was adultery, and the punishment was death by stoning. Even if Mary wasn't stoned, there was a distinct possibility that she would be ostracized by her family and her village. And what about that story she told of an angel coming to her and saying she was to bear the Messiah and become pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit? People would think she's not only a sinner and adulteress, but she's crazy too. Devastating loss loomed before Mary, and even as the angel Gabriel told her the good news, her mind surely went over all the implications of his announcement. It was an honor to become the mother of the long-awaited Messiah, but what about all the baggage that came along with it? Could she handle it? Could she take the snide remarks, the belittling, the threats, the gossip, her family's disappointment and dismay, losing Joseph and possibly never getting another chance to become someone's wife? All these thoughts raced through her mind in a nanosecond. You know how that happens sometimes. And she gave her answer immediately. "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." That was a distinct yes. But Mary didn't realize right away that she was blessed. It was only after she went to visit her cousin Elizabeth, who was also the recipient of an unexpected pregnancy, that she realized, yes, she said yes, and she was blessed. When Mary greeted Elizabeth, her baby, the future John the Baptist, moved so strongly inside her that Elizabeth knew someone special was in her presence. "Blessed are you among women," she exclaimed. "Blessed is she that believed in God's promises." And that's when it hit Mary that, yes, she was truly blessed. This age-old promise of a redeemer for God's people was coming true with her help, and all the worries and woes and the obstacles and opposition were suddenly wiped away. She was blessed. She was moved to sing a beautiful song of praise to God, what we call the Magnificat, because of the first words of the song in Latin. It is indeed a lovely song, but you have to wonder, how did this peasant girl come to spout such articulate and clear-headed rejoicements? There is one hint as to how. Mary's song echoes many aspects of Hannah's song that we heard earlier. Hannah had been enduring the shame of barrenness, much like Elizabeth, and when she finally conceived and gave birth to Samuel, who would be a prophet like Elizabeth and Mary's sons, she sang a song of thanksgiving and joy and relief and wonder. Mary was obviously well acquainted with the scriptures. She had been raised hearing the stories of her people, so of course she would remember Hannah and find many ways that her situation coincided with Hannah's. Hannah's heart exulted. Mary's soul magnified the Lord. Her inmost being proclaimed and proved the power of God. Everything that happened to Hannah and Mary pointed directly to God and God's goodness and mercy. Hannah and Mary sang of the mighty God, the Holy One, who did great and wonderful things for them both. Mary was especially awed that God would look with favor on someone like her, some obscure girl in a backwater town like Nazareth. God chose her. God deemed her worthy. She is a great example herself of God lifting up a lowly one. Her humility drew God's attention. The proud were scattered in the thoughts of their hearts, rejected for their sense of entitlement. But Mary's humble nature was just what God wanted to find in the mother of God's only son. Hannah also told the proud to cut it out and stop thinking they were all that. Talk no more so very proudly. Let not arrogance come from your mouth. Both women sang about how God looks on the lowly and ignored and blesses them to let them know they are seen and loved. They sang of the great balancing act of God. The Lord kills and brings to life, Hannah said. He brings down to Sheol and raises up. The Lord makes the poor, makes poor and makes rich. He brings low. He also exalts. He raises up the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes and inherit a seat of honor. Those who were full have hired themselves out for bread, but those who are hungry are fat with spoil. Mary concurred when she said, God has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. Mary sang as though all these things were happening right then and there, not as part of some far-off future, because God is present in the here and now, and all the blessings from God are available to us right now. We don't have to wait for them. We can go ahead and claim them today. And so Mary did. In spite of the hardships that lay ahead of her, Mary's soul was comforted. She knew God would not bring her to this moment of grace and glory only to abandon her. God, she knew, would be with her all through the coming months and years, helping her withstand withdrawal, helping her handle harassment, and being there to bless her every step of the way, all because she said yes. And because of Mary, because of her willingness and humility and faith, we have all been blessed with a loving Savior who has come to redeem, reconcile, and rescue us. Jesus was the best one who said yes and was blessed. God asked him long before his human incarnation if he would be willing to go to God's people and ultimately offer himself as a sacrifice for them. Would he be willing to give up his place beside God in the heavenly realm to endure in the world below hardship, ridicule, anger, and finally death on a cross? No doubt God laid out all the difficulties and darkness that Jesus would have to face. No doubt God told him there would be tears, sweat, blood, pain, death, things that Jesus had never before encountered. And Jesus, just like his mother, answered affirmatively and immediately. He could endure all the pain and problems, the rejection, the rudeness, the humiliation, the helplessness, if his life would be used to honor and glorify God, if it would draw God's people near to God once again. So just like his mother, Jesus said yes and was blessed. He was the blessing that Mary made possible for all of us. Hannah hinted at how God would empower Jesus. The Lord will give strength to his king and exalt the power of his anointed. This is a prophecy of the future, not like Mary's prophecy. You know, I never thought of Mary as a prophet, but indeed she was one. Like many other prophets, when the call first came to her, she hesitated, but then she yielded. Many prophets of old had to act out their prophecies. Jeremiah wore a yoke to symbolize the burden of exile the Israelites would soon face. Give me a second. A little water, John. Ezekiel acted out a whole siege story using bricks and laying on his side for several years. Once again, God was going to do something powerful, and Mary would be a part of it. She would carry in her body the hope and the light of the world. The prophet Isaiah gave his children names that described the Israelites' coming fate, and Mary was told her child would be named Jesus, Savior, because he would save his people from their sins. So yes, let's bless this prophetess. Let us bless this one who put her life and her reputation on the line just to say yes to God's request. Let us bless this one who told God yes, and in doing so, showed us that we are blessed to be a blessing to everyone else. She was truly prophetic when she declared that future generations would call her blessed, and we still do. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for Mary's example, for her bravery and her willingness to be your servant. Indeed, we still call her blessed. We still speak well and lovingly of her. May we, like Mary, have courage to say yes when you come to us, in spite of our doubts and fears and shortcomings. May our souls come in line with your goals, and may they magnify you, Lord. Continue to bless us so that we can bless others. Amen. Thank you.